Ephesians chapter 4. I've shared out of this passage often, but I have some things in my heart tonight that I want to share with you, and I ask that you be open and that you have an ear to hear, because I believe that the Lord has put this in my heart to share with you. And so when I know I hear from the Lord and He puts it in my heart, even if we've heard it before, there's something God wants to get to us. So let's look at this again. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll start in verse 11. Jesus has been raised from the dead, and it says that He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, why did He give them? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. How long did He give those fivefold ministry gifts? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, we have a destiny, saints, and it is a beautiful destiny as the people of God. The Scriptures say that God gave these gifts for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Those are great things right there. And then He says, though, that we'll have them until we come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Everybody say perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The stature of the fullness of Christ, a perfect man. Now, perfect there doesn't mean sinless. It means complete, and it means mature. Complete and mature. Now, He goes on to say in verse 14, and I like this, He said, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine or teaching, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, verse 16 is a little wordy. All He's saying is God's joined us together in Christ. We are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we supply one another. We need one another. We receive one from another within the love of God. Notice again in verse 14, we are to be no more children tossed to and fro. And then in verse 15, He says, if we'll speak the truth in love, we will grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Man, I want to grow up. I want to grow up into Him in all things, not just a few things. I don't want to be overbalanced, and I don't want to be mature in certain areas of my Christian life and Christian walk and Christian experience and still be a child in understanding in other areas of my Christian experience. A lot of Christians today experience great measures of frustration, and the source of that frustration is spiritual immaturity. Immaturity. If you remain immature as a believer, you're going to get frustrated over a period of time in your walk with God. God didn't save us to leave us as children. He didn't save us and bring us into the kingdom, though we're saved and we come into the kingdom as a babe. We're born again. John 3:3 says, even like a human being is born a baby and then matures and develops and grows and reaches a mature level where they fulfill destiny, so it is in the kingdom of God. We come into the kingdom as a babe. We come in as a child, but God doesn't want us to stay children. There's problems in our lives if we get saved and we remain as children. We get tossed to and fro. We don't have a stable kind of commitment and witness. Every wind of doctrine blows us here and there, and we're sense-driven instead of spirit-driven. And what happens, just like if you would have remained a baby forever, you would have experienced great frustration. So it is with most believers at large. They get born again, but they get in a dead church, or they don't get in a good church or church at all, and they get stuck, and frustration begins to set in. Immaturity can bring a real sense of unfulfillment and discontentment. I don't know how many believers you know, but I know multitudes of believers that are very unfulfilled in their walk with God. They love God, they've met God, they've called upon the name of Jesus, but they haven't developed. They haven't matured. They don't even know what the elements and factors are that are involved in spiritual maturity. So they're stuck and they have a real sense of discontentment in their lives. Again, much of the destruction and problems that we face in our Christian walk are the result of immaturity. We make bad decisions because we're immature. We're still babes in Christ. We mishandle situations. We overreact to problems and to people and to circumstances. Or because of immaturity in our lives, we don't react at all. We just hope things will go away. We just hope things will get better instead of being active in our faith and pursuing excellence on every realm and on every front in our Christian experience. I can remember being so frustrated and unfulfilled and unfruitful and discontented, and the source of it I didn't know while I was in it, but it was immaturity in my life. I wasn't taught the things of God. I wasn't trained. I wasn't discipled. I wasn't disciplined in the kingdom. And my frustration, listen, was divine frustration. I thought it was just natural. I've discovered in hindsight it was supernatural. It was God even prodding me onto maturity, trying to move me from an immature stage to a mature stage. Because while getting saved is great and you get to go to heaven, that is not the reason God saved you. He didn't save you just so you could go to heaven when you die. He saved you so He could get all of heaven there is on the earth in and through you in this life. In this life. And you're not going to be happy. Amen. Go ahead. Give the Lord a hand. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to be fulfilled. You're not going to be satisfied. You're not going to become productive and fruitful and all those things we talk about unless you mature, unless you grow up into Him in all things. And so that's what I'm going to be talking about over the next few weeks, is spiritual development, growing up, and renewing our minds to this grow-up mentality versus go-up mentality. Most of us have been raised in churches where we sat around waiting to go up, and we couldn't wait to go up. And we just prayed we'd go up at any minute because of all the trials, the tribulations, the things warring against us. And of course, the credit cards are so high, come quickly, Lord Jesus, was our prayer. And snatch us out of here and leave all our credit cards for the Antichrist to pay off. Amen. That's no life. That's no way to live. That's not God's plan for our lives. He wants me. He wants you to grow up in Him in all things, which is the head, even the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to bring you and He wants to bring me to the full stature of the Son of God. Now, let's get honest. We have different levels of maturity throughout this house, but nobody is reflecting the fullness of the stature of Christ in this house tonight. I'm not putting myself down. I'm not putting you down. Some of you have known the Lord probably longer than I've been alive, and yet I still don't see the full stature of the Son of God. I don't see maturity like the Word promises and like God's got us on a track to obtain if we'll pursue Him in wisdom. Now let me show you something about Jesus and Him growing. Go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And for a few hours, I prayed over these passages, and I wasn't sure what the Lord was trying to say to me. And I thought that I was going to minister this week on wisdom or favor. And as I prayed over it, I kept meditating in it. Finally, I believe the Lord got through to me through meditating in it, praying over it, what He wanted to say to everyone, not just me, but to everyone here tonight. And it has to do with growing up. It has to do from going from immaturity to maturity. From going to a babe in Christ to one who is a full age. Full age. Again, we come into the kingdom as a babe. John 3:3. We get born again, born over into the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God. So we start in the kingdom in an immature state. We start as a babe or a baby in the kingdom. And the Bible compares natural growth to spiritual growth, and the stages of spiritual growth to natural growth. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:11, he said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Did everybody hear that? He said there's two stages in life. And it's okay to be a child while you're a child. And it's good to be a child for a season. And it's unhealthy to rush a child's development or rush a child's maturity level, to pressure a child and to force a child into maturity before the appointed time or the natural process that takes place. On the other hand, you can't be a child forever in speech, understanding, and thought. Speech, understanding, and thought. When he said, I put away childish things, the context there in 1 Corinthians 13 is speaking like a child. We got to quit talking like we used to talk and talking like children, even in the kingdom. And we've got to start talking, communicating as adults. And then he said, understanding. Children have limited understanding. And each level of understanding depends on former understanding. It's sort of like math. You have to learn your numbers, add and subtract, then multiplication, then division. Each level of understanding in a child's life is predicated on the understanding before. And if they don't get that straight, they can't go to the next level. So it is in the kingdom of heaven with understanding. There's certain things you've got to understand. There's certain foundational truths that have to be laid in your life, and you must understand these. If you understand these, you can go on into the deeper things of the kingdom. The deeper things of the kingdom. And I submit to you that a lot of the foundational stuff we have to keep going over and over and over, because people are speaking like children, understanding like children, and thinking like children. We need to put away childish things and start talking like adults, understanding like adults, and thinking like adults. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of God's word, that you may grow thereby. So see, the word of God has a place in our heart, a place in our life that causes us to grow. Hebrews 5:14, I'll look at this here in a moment. It says, strong meat belongeth to them who are of full age. Everyone say full age. Who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See, there are babes in Christ, and there are those who are of full age. Who are the ones that are of full age? They have acted on the Word of God. They have obeyed the Word of God. They've lived by faith and walked by faith to a point that they have their senses exercised. Their five physical senses disciplined and exercised, and they can discern, they can see, they can understand what good is and what evil is. See, if you remain a babe in Christ your whole life, one of the downfalls of immaturity, one of the downfalls of not growing up into Him in all things is you don't know how to judge right. You don't know how to discern right. And you think something's good when it's evil. You think something's evil when it's good. And so your whole life gets messed up. Church is full of so-called Christians who cannot discern good and evil. Why can't they discern good and evil? They're babes in the Lord, and most of them are too prideful to even admit they're babes. Just because you've been saved for 20 years doesn't mean you're a full age. Just means you're the biggest baby in the building, some of you. Amen. If you haven't exercised yourself in the Word of God, if you haven't acted on God's Word and you haven't pursued God and put His Word in your heart and acted on His Word, you can be, 70 years old and a babe in Christ, not even know how to vote. I can remember how stunning some of this stuff used to be to me. I'd talk to Christians, and I would just begin to fellowship with them, and they would begin to share things and say things, and I'm thinking, my God, is your discernment that bad? Are you that dull of hearing? Can you not discern the evil of the time? Can you not tell when somebody's lying to you? Can you not discern that that is bad and anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Word? I'm telling you, there's people who go to church their whole life and they don't even know abortion's wrong. It's impossible, saints, to walk with God, read the Bible, and mature and develop and not understand if abortion's right or wrong. It's impossible. It's not my philosophy or opinion or how I view versus how you view. It's the difference between being a babe and one of full age who have exercised themselves in the Word of God to where they can discern, everybody say discern, both good and evil. Righteous judgment comes into your life when you grow up. And you have to make righteous judgments. If you don't make righteous judgments, your life is going to be a mess. Your life is going to be in disarray. It's going to be in confusion. And the enemy is going to take advantage of you if you don't learn how to judge righteously. Well, babes can't judge righteously. They're unskillful in the word of righteousness, is what the book of Hebrews said. But see, when you grow up, when you mature in the Lord, you learn how to make just, righteous judgments. And that brings success and fruitfulness and productivity in your life. See, if you don't learn how to judge right, you're going to watch things that are going to mess your head up and your family. You're going to read things that are going to mess your head up and your family. You're going to do things in innocence and ignorance that the devil could care less if you're innocent or ignorant. He'll still take advantage of you if you don't obey God and you don't walk in truth. Am I making sense? Yes. I want to grow up. I want to mature so that I can judge righteously. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Paul says, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. I want to be a man in my understanding. I don't want to be a child in my understanding. I want to be able to see my world and understand biblically, understand spiritually what's going on. What's the behind the scenes picture? What's the big picture that's going on in my world? I want to be mature. And I want to be like a child in malice. Malice means intent to hurt. I want to be like a little kid when it comes to anger or hurt or trying to hurt you in any way. You know, little kids get over stuff real quick. And little kids primarily are having so much fun, they don't go out of the way to hurt their friends. And that's the way we should be as Christians. We shouldn't go out of our way to hurt one another or offend one another. We should be as children in malice, but in understanding, we should be men. You don't just wake up one morning and you're filled with understanding. It's a process. It's a process. And you grow in these things. Now, watch this in Jesus' life, because this is fascinating to me. In Luke chapter 2, look at verse 39. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Notice that the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. See, Jesus was God, but he was God made flesh. He was God becoming man. He did not operate in the earth as God. He operated in the earth as a man under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. It says he grew in stature. He grew and wax strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. See, Jesus didn't know everything at five. He was a child at five, just like you were a child at five. And just because he was God made flesh didn't mean he knew everything. He grew. He waxed strong in spirit, and he grew in wisdom. Look at that same chapter, verse 51, talking about Jesus. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Did you see that? He increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. If Jesus, the Son of God, had to grow up, if Jesus, the Son of God, had to increase in wisdom, he didn't just automatically have wisdom, he had to increase in wisdom. He didn't just automatically have favor with God, man. He increased in favor with God, man. Let me tell you something, saints. If you increase in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man, you're going to be awful fulfilled. You're going to be awful productive. You're going to be successful. You're going to be fun to be around. Hallelujah. You're not going to be touchy. Hallelujah. Go over to Proverbs real quick. And this is what I thought I was going to teach on, so I'm just going to share on it anyway. Proverbs chapter 4, a couple of passages on wisdom and favor. If we had wisdom and we were increasing in wisdom, we would make better decisions that bring a better quality of life. A little amen wouldn't hurt every now and then. If we had wisdom and we were increasing in wisdom, wouldn't we make better decisions bringing a better quality of life? Isn't a lot of the junk in our life and the problems we have because we made bad decisions? We made bad choices. We didn't have wisdom. We done something stupid. And now the harvest on stupidity is coming upon us. Some of you, it's stacking up high. If you don't get a hold of God, you're going to be smothered in the harvest of stupidity. Because the seeds you sown, the decisions you made, the judgments you made or the judgments you didn't make. Immature people are afraid to make a judgment. So they don't make a judgment at all. And that is a judgment that can lead to death in your life. I remember, again, this is one of my favorite times of my life, because I went through the fire and I come out on the other side with nothing but bondage burned off of me. I didn't even stench from the flames or nothing. But during the presidential scandals years ago, and all the lying that was going on and all the things happening, I can remember the national media saying we shouldn't judge. And Christians, immature, ignorant Christians, were going around saying, I just believe we shouldn't judge. You just did. And your judgment is faulty. You just judged not to judge. And not judging in some things will cause destruction to come into your life. There's no such thing as we're not judging. Everybody's judging. When you choose not to judge, that's your judgment. And there's consequences sometimes to not judging. There's consequences to not judging whether your children should watch that movie or not watch that movie. Well, I just think we shouldn't judge. Yeah, and death is fixing to come upon you suddenly. Because your judgment was to not judge because you didn't have discernment. You didn't have discernment. Am I making sense? And so wisdom is so important to our lives. And you don't just wake up one day and have wisdom. And favor is so important to our lives. Listen to me. And you don't just wake up one day and have favor. There are natural things we can do that are righteous that bring favor. Okay? Like keeping our word, not being rude, showing up on time for your job, not leaving early. Just righteous things, good things that can bring a measure of favor. But God wants us to have supernatural favor, and we can grow in that if we're willing to grow up into Him in all things. Real quick, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. Proverbs 4, 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. That's the word of God. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. See, that's favor. She shall promote thee. That's favor. We need promoted. How many of you could use a promotion in the workplace? Could you use a promotion in your finances? Boy, that didn't take long. Didn't have to pull that amen out of you. Stampede of amen. The second part of verse 8 says, she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Now just look real quick over at Proverbs 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Now let's digress here for just a moment. How many of us, really, if somebody was to boil down what we're looking for out of life, and if we could describe it in one phrase or one word, what do most people want out of life? What do people say just before they get a divorce many times? What do they say in the midst of trials and tribulations and hardships of life? Here's what most people say. I just want to be happy. Pastor, I just want to be happy. And it's as if happy and happiness is a god in the culture today. Life for many is but a pursuit of happiness. And if they don't acquire happiness every single day of their life, they don't even want to live, many of them. He says right here, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Now look at verse 16. Length of days are in her right hand, and in her left hand is riches and honor. Honor is a form of favor. a form of favor. Honor can be defined by the word favor. Favor can be defined by the word honor. Where does honor and favor in life come from? Comes from wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? Comes from God. Comes from the Word, both written and living. I'm going to say that again. Wisdom comes from God. Where from God? From His Word, both written and living. This is the written Word, and wisdom's in here, and we need to get in here and get it out of here. And Jesus is wisdom, and Colossians chapter 2 says, verse 2, that the hidden treasures of God's wisdom and knowledge are in Christ, and Christ is in you. Amen. Wisdom is in my spirit. His name is Jesus. And if I will embrace wisdom, if I will embrace the Lord, if I'll embrace His written Word and God's living Word, Jesus Christ, with all of my heart, not be playing games and not be playing around with this thing, I will grow, I will increase in wisdom and stature and find favor with God first, then man. Hallelujah. Man, that's good stuff. And that'll make you happy. That'll make you happy. It'll sure fulfill you. And so it's something we grow in. It's progressive. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5, verse 8. Though he were a son, that's talking about Jesus, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, everybody say therefore.
Therefore.
Chapter 6, verse 1 starts off with therefore. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection or maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith toward God, doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Sometimes God won't permit us. Sometimes there's things that God puts in the man of God or the woman of God's heart to share, but He won't permit them to share that because people are dull of hearing. It'll just confuse them. It'll just create problems. There's lots of stuff at times I want to say and I want to share, but I can feel the check of the Holy Spirit that this could cause more problems than solutions because of immaturity. Amen. You can't say the deeper things of the kingdom, the weightier matters of the kingdom, to an immature crowd. And if you want to know where we are at large in the body of Christ, He gave us six things that He said, this is babe's stuff. This is milk. This is the foundational stuff. And He says, we want to leave this stuff, but we can't leave this stuff. God won't permit us to leave this stuff because you've become dull of hearing. And instead of being teachers, you should already be teachers of the things of the kingdom. You have need, again, that one teach you the elementary principles of the doctrine of Christ. You know what that says? That says you're moving, darling, all the time. Just some of you don't know you're moving backwards. There's no such thing as coasting in the kingdom of heaven. There's no such thing as sitting still. You're either going forward and progressing forward, or according to this passage, you're going backwards. You can lose, and this shocks people, you can lose the revelation you have today if you don't live in it and believe God for more to build upon it. Do you really understand that? Are y'all just being nice to me tonight? Do you really understand what I'm saying? Most people can't even handle what I'm saying right now. And yet, I've not only seen it in the Word of God, and I'm going to show you other scriptures to verify this principle of progression. I have friends that discipled me in the kingdom of heaven over 20 years ago in home groups that were spiritual giants in my life. I mean, I looked up to these people. I respected them. They had a walk with God, an intimacy with God. They were plumb intimidating. in stature, wisdom, revelation, understanding of God. And they were like fathers and mothers to me. Most of my foundational teachings I learned from a woman. Man, thank God I wasn't a part of a denomination that believed women can't teach men. Okay, y'all didn't like that one. Most of my foundational teachings was taught one-on-one by a woman. And she was awesome. She was powerful in the kingdom. One of full age. This lady had discernment, wisdom, etc., etc. Then there was another man that was a part of that care group that began to disciple me and help me in that home group and lay some foundational work and help me resolve problems and what's God saying, what's God doing. See, a lot of you just want your problem fixed. You don't want to get to know God. God doesn't want to just fix your problem. He wants to reveal himself to you in that problem so you can get out of it and now go help somebody else get out of it. If he just gets you out of the problem, but you don't get a revelation, you don't get wisdom, you don't get understanding, you don't mature and you don't grow, what good was the problem or God working in the problem? Man, I just said a lot right there. And so anyway, I looked up to these people. So God called me. I'm in the ministry. I moved from my hometown to Oklahoma. And the ministry just took off. God just blessed me with favor. It's amazing the favor I've had over the years. Looking back, it just astounds me at the supernatural favor God's given me. Nothing I've earned or deserved or planned or thought of. Just supernatural favor. I've had 8 churches given to me over the lifetime of this ministry. Just given to me. There's preachers give anything to get a church. And I've had 8 given to me. I've never asked to preach a day in my life. I've never solicited for a pulpit. I've never asked somebody, could I preach? Just doors opening supernaturally for me. Just favor everywhere. And on I could go with sharing testimonial after testimonial. Well, the ministry began to grow. And just like in the natural, don't you want to make your natural parents proud? Wouldn't it be nice, you know, if you have an accomplishment, something that's happening, and now you can bring that to them, and they just be proud of you. Look at what God's done. And so as the ministry began to grow, I had a chance to go back to my hometown and get with these people that I had up on these pedestals and that had wisdom and revelation and intimacy with God and literally gave me my foundation that others had to build on and got me to where I'm at today. And so I couldn't wait to share with them where I'm at in the kingdom and where God's brought me and what's happening in my life. And I was stunned at where that woman was and where that man was in their walk with God. So devastated by certain events in their lives. So disillusioned by things that didn't work out the way they thought they should work out, that they actually lost most of the revelation that they taught me that I built on, and they were even wavering about whether or not God was even real anymore. Now that's scary. Well, that never happened to me. Oh yeah? You're the one it's fixing to happen to next. That never happened to me, boy. This just taught us. The writer of the book of Hebrews says, you have need that one teach you again what be the elementary principles of the doctrine of Christ. You ought to all be teachers. You should have been progressing. You should have been maturing. You should have been developing. You should have been growing to where now instead of me having to spoon feed you again with milk, you should be already on the meat and teaching others the milk. But you have need that I come back and start over and lay the foundations again. See, nobody's coasting. Nobody's standing still. You're either progressing in the kingdom forward or you're doing what the old timers call backsliding. And it's serious. And it's dangerous. Amen. And you're standing here now. I'm standing here now. And I can't imagine losing any of my light, understanding, revelation. But see, if I don't keep pursuing God and I don't keep acting on His Word, I will begin to become disillusioned. And I will begin to lose what I have if I'm not a good steward of it and add to it. Did you hear that? You have to be a good steward of the wisdom you have, the understanding you have, in order to get more. And if you're not a good steward of the things of God, you can begin to lose that light. And if you'll think with me and if you'll look at your life, I bet everybody in here knows people like those two people I just gave a testimony of that you used to look up to, and now you've passed them in the kingdom and they didn't even stand still. They have digressed in their walk with God. Their walk with God. Look at the elementary principles in chapter 6. He said that we need to leave these principles of the doctrine of Christ and go on unto perfection or maturity, not laying the foundation of repentance from dead works. Do you know what a basic elementary doctrine of the faith is? Repent from your dead works. And you don't just repent one time and get saved. You repent, yes, and get saved, but you have to live a repentive life. You have dead works in your lives, and you got to put that stuff off. You got to repent. Look at the next one. He says, faith toward God. Do you know how many denominations persecute the faith movement and the teaching of faith? And it's an elementary principle. Faith toward God is an elementary principle. It's the milk of God's word. And some people are choking on the doctrine of faith and having faith toward God, how to live by faith and how to walk by faith and how to exercise faith. Persecuting you if you preach faith. And faith is milk. And we haven't even got faith straight in some of our charismatic and word churches. And it is a basic elementary point. We got to get past that. And I'm still having to teach people how to believe God, how to release your faith, how to act in faith, how to walk by faith and not by sight. We're supposed to be past that. I'm not putting you down. I'm trying to challenge you. Amen? Amen. The third thing he said is the doctrine of baptisms. Everybody say baptisms. Baptism. Is that singular or plural?
Plural.
That's plural. Say baptisms.
Baptism.
Do you know an elementary basic doctrine of Christ, New Testament doctrine, is baptisms, plural. And yet there's some denominational preachers will stand up in the pulpit. I've heard them on TV all my life saying there's only one baptism. And then they persecute anybody teaching another baptism or plural baptisms. And yet right in the Word of God, elementary principle of Christ, doctrine of Christ, is baptisms, plural. And the very people who stand up and preach one baptism and anybody preaching another baptism is in error and preaching heresy. Even they preach two baptisms. They preach the baptism where you get saved, where the Holy Spirit baptizes you into Jesus, the body of Christ. And that's a spirit baptism that happens in your spirit. Then you get water baptized. And water baptism doesn't save you. If you haven't been baptized into the body of Christ by faith in your inner man, you're just taking a public bath and nothing's going to happen. There's two baptisms right there. And there are multiple baptisms taught in the Bible. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the baptism with the Holy Spirit, is the elementary principles of the doctrine of Christ. And how many wars are still being fought today over the baptism with the Holy Spirit? And just scripture after scripture after scripture of how they were filled with the Holy Spirit after they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. And yet people are so dull of hearing, they can't see it. They can't see it. I don't want to ever get in that condition. The next one in verse 2 is the laying on of hands. Did you know laying hands on people is a doctrine of Christ? An elementary doctrine, and every denomination ought to be laying hands on people. And yet how many people make fun of you if you lay hands on somebody? Lay hands on people to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Lay hands on people to be healed. Lay hands on people for ministry. And that's milk. And people have a cardiac arrest as soon as you start talking about laying hands on the sick or laying hands on believers or the transmission or transferal of the anointing through the laying on of hands. And that's milk. And the writer says, we got to get past this stuff so we can become a full age. Let me just step out on a limb here. There's a reason why Jesus hadn't come back and it isn't on God's end.
Amen. That's right.
Okay, that wasn't good enough. Jesus is not coming back for a baby. He's not coming back for a girl. He's coming back for a wife. He's coming back for an adult church. He's coming back for a church that is a full age that has made herself ready to meet her bridegroom. Hallelujah. He's coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He's coming back for an adult because he's an adult. He was a babe once, but he grew in wisdom and stature and found favor with God and man. You and I have all been babes born into the kingdom, but we're supposed to grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. And man. All right, I want you to turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Doctrine of baptisms. What was the next one? And what was after laying on of hands? Resurrection of the dead. That's an elementary principle of the doctrine of Christ. The resurrection. And what was the last one? What is it called? Let me put it in Oklahoma, Texas talk. Hell. Not temporal judgment. Eternal judgment. We got preachers on national TV talking about how there's not a hell today. If there's no hell, there's no eternal judgment. If there's no eternal judgment, we just took away one of the elementary principles of the doctrine of Christ. And while we don't need to get up in the pulpit and preach on hell every service, and while I don't need to scare everybody out of it into heaven, it's a very real place. And it's a part of God's nature, is wrath and anger against all sin and disobedience. Amen? In Mark chapter 4, I've taught on this, and so I'm going to fly through this. I believe I've done a thorough job, and I've taught on it enough just to review it. But let me highlight it for you. Jesus taught the sower sowing the seed parable, and the disciples asked him to explain the parable. He said that the seed was the word of the kingdom, the word of God, that the ground was the hearts of people. And he said there were four kinds of ground, and I'll give you the verses. Mark chapter 4, verse 13 through 15 is the first ground, and he said it was by the wayside. And he said when the word is spoken, like seed, it goes out, but the devil, Satan, gets the word immediately. Everybody say immediately. Immediately. Now in this parable, Mark did not explain this ground and how Satan got it. But if you write down Matthew 13, verse 18 and 19, Matthew 13, 18 and 19. Matthew told the same parable, but he explained the first ground. And he said that the people did not understand the word that was spoken, and that's how the devil got it. That's why I take my time. That's why I look at you. That's why I do wait for a response sometimes. It's because it's not going to do us any good if I talk, and I either talk over your head, or I ramble and I did not communicate. Just because I'm talking doesn't mean I'm communicating. Just because I'm speaking doesn't mean life is being transmitted. There has to be a form of understanding, or the devil is taking the word that I'm sowing as I'm throwing it out there. It's like birds flying through the air and grabbing it in the air, and it never gets in your heart. And if the word doesn't get in your heart, you don't mature, you don't grow. If you just hear it with these ears, it doesn't change your life. Doesn't hurt you, but it doesn't help you. You got to hear it inside. And the hearing he talks about later on in the parable is understanding. And that's what Matthew said. You got to understand what I'm saying for it to have an effect on you. That's why I look at all of you. That's why I think the most miraculous thing in my life, and I do not take it for granted. I want to just glory in the Lord here for just a moment, thank Him publicly, praise Him for whatever He's done in my life, whatever He's given me. One of the most miraculous things in my life is the anointing of God to hold your attention. I am one of the most blessed ministers I've ever seen in that sense. That no matter how many people are in the audience, no matter how many people are in the meeting, it is fascinating to me how they're all looking at me and focused on me. And I don't believe that's natural. That is supernatural. That's the anointing of God. That is the anointing of God. And it's rare. See? Most Christians are ADD. We should be passing out Ritalin because they can't stay still for 15 minutes. You can't keep their attention for more than 10 minutes. And they're off somewhere else. Their head is somewhere else. They're grocery shopping. They're trying to figure out how to fix tomorrow's problems in the workplace. Preacher's preaching. Preacher's sharing the word. And it's not getting in their heart because their mind is somewhere else. They don't understand. They're not connecting. There's not a flow of life. Yeah, Paul says, I didn't want to come with fancy words and enticing speech, but in power and demonstration of the Spirit. And everybody thinks of signs and wonders and demonstrative explosive power going off. And while that was in part in some of his meetings, the power and demonstration of the Spirit is that word getting past the fouls of the air and getting into your heart and the light going off. Hallelujah. And my life's going to be changed. That is the power of God. I'm not philosophizing. I'm not giving a speech. Do you know how hard it is to sit for an hour and listen to a speech? It's almost impossible to sit for an hour and listen to a speech. Are you really following me? Do you know how difficult it is to sit for 1 hour and listen to a talk? Listen to philosophy? But why and how can we sit for 1 hour, and not all the time, I'll humble myself here, not all the time, but most of the time you don't want me to quit. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness? That is not natural. That is not me. That's the Spirit of the Word, the Spirit of God in me. And see, I am transmitting life. My words, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. When I speak bodies of truth are being imparted into your spirit, man, into your heart, exploding that into your life. It's supernatural, is what I'm trying to tell you. And most people never grow up because they go to a church where there's just philosophy coming out of the pulpit, or a speech, or a poem, and on I could go. As long as there's life, the word of truth, speaking the truth in love, that you might grow up thereby. It affects you. It just affects you. It gets on the inside of you and affects you. He said that first ground's by the wayside, the word doesn't even get to them because they don't understand it. The second one is stony ground. Stony ground. He said these people, they hear the word and they get excited for the moment, but when affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. You're going to be a baby your whole life. Everybody say, I love.
I love.
Brother Dwayne. You're going to be a baby your whole life if you go through life taking offense. Offense is a weapon of the devil to steal the word out of your heart or to keep the word from getting into your heart. You'd be surprised how many people get offended because I have hair on my collar. And you think the devil isn't using that to keep the word from getting into your heart? Get offended because of my colloquial type sayings or just personality or phraseology. Not even realizing that's the devil keeping you bound to immaturity. Well, he's got facial hair. Well, I got half as much as I used to have. So I'm repenting. I mean, if I thought it would cause a revival to break out, I'd cut the rest of it off. Hallelujah. But I don't think it would change anything in some people's heart and minds who take offense, not realizing that is a weapon of the devil to keep you immature, to keep you bound. He wants you offended at me. He wants you offended at the music. He wants you offended at who's by you. He wants you offended. And we just take offense, not realizing the deadliness of that, how it causes the Word of God to be snatched out of our heart. When we put it in there, how do we lose it? How did those people in Hebrews lose the light that they had? How did they lose the revelation they had? How did they keep from going forward and went backwards? One of the ways was offense. And every time you're offended, you thought it was just your personality, you thought it was just your feelings, and it wasn't a big deal. It was the devil stealing the word out of your heart, according to Jesus. The third ground was sown among thorns, and the thorns choked it. They strangled the word of God. See, it's the word of God in your heart that brings maturity. It's the word of God in your life that brings change. You can't change on your own. It's the word that changes you. You can't bear fruit. It's the word in you that causes you to bear fruit. And so he said there's three things happen to these people: the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. Enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. See, it's not you that becomes unfruitful, it's the word that becomes unfruitful. It's Jesus in me and Jesus flowing through me that brings fruit into my life. Amen? And so cares, worry, well, there's some of us. We're trapped right there. Deceitfulness of riches, not riches, the deceitfulness of riches. What's the deceit that comes with riches? If I just had more money, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't be. If I just had more money, everything would work out in my life. No, it wouldn't. It's a deceit. God wants you to have money, but he doesn't want money to have you. You can have money, But you can't serve money. And the whole world is caught in that deceit. More money will make me happy. More money will make me prosperous. More money, 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 money. And they work 2 and 3 jobs. And they don't have time to come to church. They don't have time to hear the word. They don't have time to pray. The deceit of riches. Then the lust of other things. That could be anything. A lust for power. A lust for positions. A lust for titles. A lust for favor of man. Instead of just going to God and receiving His favor. And then you'll have the favor of most men. Of most men. Then the fourth ground was the good ground. It's victory life. It's good ground. And he said, on that ground, at that church, when the word is sown, some reap 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now, what determines the 30, the 60, and the 100? Not God.
That's right.
Not God. Some of you are committed to this thing, tooth and toenail, 100%, and you're gonna reap a powerful harvest. Some of you about 60%, some of you about 30. But thank God you're committed in one level or another. After he told the parable, here's what I want to end with. Look at verse 21. And he said, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now the hear there isn't natural ears. They all had natural ears. Talking about a heart to hear. If you have ears to hear, let. You have to choose to hear. Choose to understand. Hear means understand. That's what hear there means. Understand. How many besides me have looked at your children and said, boy, didn't you hear me? Well, what did you mean by, boy, didn't you hear me? You're not talking about, did you just hear words? Because he heard words, he nodded his head and acted spiritual, but he didn't understand what you said. And so you go, boy, didn't you hear me? You come through the house, you leave in town, the grass needs cut. Jeremy, cut the grass. I'm expecting you to do what's right. You go, you come back, grass is so high, you can't find the house. Run into the house. Boy, didn't you hear me? I said, cut the grass. Oh, I'm sorry, Dad, I thought you said never smoke grass. And you're expecting me to do what's right. He didn't understand. He said, yes, sir. He nodded his head, but he didn't hear. I was taught, I need to hurry here, but I was taught literally that passage is talking about God uncovering all of our sin in the last day. Nothing hid's going to stay hid. Everything's going to be made manifest. That's not at all what he's talking about. God's not wanting to uncover your sin publicly and embarrass you. Love doesn't do that. I'm not saying God won't make public judgments at times if you push things as far as Ananias and Sapphira did and stuff like that. But that's not his rule. That's an exception to the rule. God didn't want to expose anybody's sin and embarrass anybody. He's talking about a candle and setting a candle on a lampstand. What's the candle for? Bring light to the room. Then he says, nothing that's been hid is going to stay hid, but it's all going to be made manifest. He's talking about the wisdom of God. He's talking about revelation. He's talking about life. And God's going to illuminate his church with so much revelation, so much understanding, we are going to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth in practicality. He said, all you got to do is keep hearing. If you'll keep hearing, you'll get light. And the more light you get, the more you're going to get. Watch this now. It gets really good. Verse 24. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, shall more be given. See, you're hearing today, but I wonder next week if you're going to hear. If you hear today, you'll get something. Everybody in here gets something if you're listening. The Holy Spirit's faithful. He will get everybody in here something that's substance and that'll bring maturity. And if you hear today and you keep on hearing, you come back next week and you really hear again, you'll get more. And if you'll retain that, accept that, change your mind, change your speech, change your understanding, go from a babe to an adult, you'll get more and you'll get more. Watch this though. Verse 25 says, for he that hath, to him shall be given, And he that hath not from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Now that sounds unfair. To somebody who has, you're going to get more. To you that have not, even what you do have, you're going to lose that. That sounds unfair. That sounds unreasonable. What's he talking about? Listen, to he that has revelation, to he that has light, understanding, to he who gets understanding by choosing to obey God, choosing to hear God, he's going to get more. Him that doesn't hear no more, even that which he has will be taken away. Hebrews chapter 5. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. I'm either going forward or I'm going backwards. Most preachers peak at my age. They don't learn anymore. They don't grow anymore. They don't pursue anymore. They don't get anymore. They're content. They think they got enough to make it now. I got enough to share. I know enough of God to wing it and get by. I hunger for God more today than I ever had. I study harder. I study longer. I pray longer. Because to he that hath, and if he'll take heed to what he's listening to, if he'll keep listening to God, if he'll keep listening to the word, to he that hath, he's going to get more. But to he that hath not, even that which he has will be taken away. Verse 26 says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man was to cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knows not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Just like a farmer doesn't know all there is about a seed and what it'll produce, he knows enough to sow it, he knows enough to water it, he knows enough to weed around it, and he knows enough when it comes to full harvest to reap the benefits of it. I don't understand everything about the kingdom, and I don't have to. I just got to go to bed at night and keep sowing. Keep sowing. Keep hearing and keep receiving and keep sowing. Keep acting on the word of God. And there'll be a progressive process in my life. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. It doesn't happen overnight. You don't just wake up one day and you have favor. You don't just wake up one day and you have wisdom. You don't just wake up one day, boom, lightning struck my brain and I understand the kingdom. What I'm trying to say to you, and I'm quitting right here. What I'm trying to say is, look, if I will take what I do know, quit complaining about what I don't know, quit whining about what I don't have, and act on what I do know, and act on what I do have, and keep on hearing God, I'll get more, I'll get more, I'll get more, I'll get more. I'll go from more to more, from faith to faith, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. Stand up on your feet. Let me pray for you. I love you dearly.